So if you looked ahead today at the title of the message, it's Where Will You Spend Eternity? So if you looked at that, you may have thought, okay, he's going off the rails here. How many have driven by churches and seeing that exact thing? Where will you spend eternity? Familiar? And yes, and what do you think? Fundamentalist, right? Okay, so it's a ringer. I'm not gonna be a fundamentalist today. But I do want to talk about something that is in that vein. How many remember for quite a few years, if you drove out past Jerry's Ice Cream, Flat Creek Auto, on the left, a sign printed very largely on a lawn that said, Jesus or hell, your choice. How many remember that? Whoa, almost everyone. In fact, we used to use it as a signal. If we told people were coming from Richfield and we wanted to get to the Emerson, we said, if you're coming down that way, turn right after the Jesus or hell sign. It was very handy, actually. Okay, so what I want to talk about today is centered around another person's life. And that person was Reverend Carlson Pearson. Does that name ring a bell to anyone? Okay. Well, I'm not surprised, actually. But Carlson Pearson was a very widely known and respected preacher, predominantly, I could say, in the Black church. And this goes back, how I heard about this. Have any of you ever listened to This American Life, the podcast? Okay, well, just a short couple of months ago, they aired a podcast, and the title of it was called Heretics. And that show usually picks one theme and then talks about various stories that are almost always true, very often in the people's own words. And this particular one was heretics. And they devoted the entire show to this one person, Carlson Pearson. And if any of you have Netflix, maybe you have caught this show, which we watched because we heard about this, called Come Sunday. Come Sunday. And it's a dramatization, but true, of that exact story. So you might want to check it out. It's very well done. Martin Sheen plays Oral Roberts in that. Okay, so who was this person? This Carlson Pearson, who was he? He grew up in the Black ghetto of San Diego, and his family was from a long line of preachers. Basically storefront preachers. Most of them had jobs. Many of them were janitors and things like that. As Carlton would say, and he was a funny guy, he would say that in his family, people either grew up to be ministers or convicts. That was pretty much it. And so that's the background that he came from. And it turned out at a very young age, he seemed to have a gift. He had a gift for getting rid of demons from people's in church, a very charismatic preacher. And that church was a very much fundamentalist Pentecostal style church where no drinking, no smoking, no dancing, very strict church. And he was at a very young age casting out demons, and that's the kind of thing that they would do in the church, casting out demons. And as he said, you started to see the devil everywhere. You started, you know, it's that which you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. You started seeing the devil everywhere and casting the devil out in you. Later on, he was talking he was a funny guy. And much later, he and his wife were having a fight one time, and And he's saying to her, I cast the demons out in you. And she's saying to him, I cast the demons out in you. So that's one way to go about a marital spat. Okay, so eventually he went to Oral Roberts University. And how many know the name Oral Roberts? That's a much more common name, Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was a very widely known preacher. He was really the first TV evangelist. At one point, he did a special and 37 million people watched it. 37 million people. Of course, this was back in the days when there were basically three TV stations, you know, NBC, CBS, and ABC. And so if there was a special, you know, you're going to flip around and very likely just stumble upon that. And he also had a group of singers that came from his university. And Carlton Pearson was also a beautiful singer, and so he was in that group. And they toured around and often appeared on these shows. So Carlton Pearson was on some of these TV shows and things. And because they traveled around, Oral Roberts got to know Carlton Pearson quite well. And he actually admired him quite a bit because, interestingly enough, Oral Roberts had this background of being part Cherokee. And he kind of came up in a scrappy sort of way that Carlton Preston did. So they got so close, and they would have talks very often, to the point, they got so close to the point that Oral Roberts started calling Carlton Pearson his black son. That's how close they became. And so it was a very, very tight bond. And eventually, Carlton Pearson, I assume he graduated, and he and his best friend roommate, who was white, went to Tulsa and formed a church. They formed this church called Higher Dimensions. And back in the day in Tulsa, it was a very segregated city, very segregated city. And he started appealing to not only whites, but blacks, and not only blacks, but whites. And the congregation started growing. It started growing, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And they needed a bigger space, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And to cut to the chase, they eventually built a huge, huge church. They eventually had to put a balcony in. At one point, they had 5,000 people coming to church on Sundays. 5,000 people. They had police directing traffic. They had to put parking lots in. At one point, they had him as the lead, and he had, I think, 7 or 8 pastors below him. That's how many people they needed just to kind of manage things. And he was funny, and he was brilliant, and he was charismatic, and those were lively services. They had, and again, if you watch the video, it's a good dramatization, but they had, you know, music playing underneath while he's talking, and then a choir that kicks in, a full gospel kind of thing, with whites and blacks. And everybody is just on board with this program. It's going great. But Carlton Pearson was genuine. He was the real deal. He was the real deal. He followed his faith, and he kept studying the Bible. And he started to doubt. He started to doubt some of the things that he was talking about. And I guess the big key thing was hell. Jesus or hell. Jesus or hell. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. It's black and it's white. It's very, very clear. And you want to save people, as many people as possible. And if you love them, you want to save them even more because you care about them. It's Jesus or hell. It's Jesus or hell. Eternal flames, the whole thing. And he started to question that. He started to wonder, and he started researching the origins of the Bible in the original languages and things very thoroughly. I'm going to play for you a short recording, and it was played on the This American Life broadcast, because they cut sometimes back and forth. And it's Carlton himself talking about this moment that was really a tipping point for him. And hopefully this is going to work. It's about 3 minutes long. And when he's talking about 9 years later, what happened to him at the time. Okay, so bear with me. Hopefully this is going to work. Raise your hand if you can't hear it once I start playing.
Well, my little girl, who'll be 9 next month, was an infant. I was watching the evening news. The Hutus and Tutsis were returning from Rwanda to Uganda. And Peter Jennings was doing a piece on it. Now Majesty was in my lap, my little girl. I'm eating the meal, and I'm watching these little kids with swollen bellies. And it looks like their skin is stretched across their little skeletal remains. Their hair is kind of red from malnutrition. The babies are, they've got flies in the corners of their eyes and of their mouths. And they reach for their mother's breast. And the mother's breast looks like a little pencil hanging there. I mean, the baby's reaching for the breast. There's no milk. And I, my little fat-faced baby in a plate of food and a big screen television. And I said, God, I don't know how you could call yourself a loving, sovereign God and allow these people to suffer this way and just suck them right into hell, which is what was my assumption. And I heard a voice say within me, so that's what you think we're doing? And I remember I didn't say yes or no. I said, that's what I've been taught. We're sucking them into hell. I said, yes. And what would change that? Well, they need to get saved. And how would that happen? Well, somebody needs to preach the gospel to them and get them saved. So if you think that's the only way they're going to get saved is for somebody to preach the gospel to them and that we're sucking them into hell, why don't you put your little baby down, turn your big screen television off, push your plate away, get on the first thing smoking, and go get them saved. Now, and I remember I broke into tears. I was very upset. I remember thinking, God, don't put that guilt on me. You know, I've given you the best 40 years of my life. Besides, I can't save the whole world. I'm doing the best I can. I can't save this whole world. And that's what I remember. And I believe it was God saying, precisely, you can't save this world. That's what we did. You think we're sucking them into hell? Can't you see they're already there? That's hell. You keep creating and inventing that for yourselves. I'm taking them into my presence. And I thought, well, I'll be. That's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's where the pain comes from. We do that to each other, and we do it to ourselves. Then I saw emergency rooms. I saw divorce court. I saw jails and prisons. I saw how we create hell on this planet for each other. And I, for the first time in my life, I did not see God as the inventor of hell.
Pretty powerful, isn't it? I hope you could hear it okay. Yeah. So it shook him up. You can tell in his voice it shook him up. The idea that man has created hell, not God has created hell. And if you look around today, there's many, many places you could say that it's really hell on earth. It's unbelievable what we do to each other. Unbelievable. And it's tragic. But to blame it on God, to say that, you know, this is the way it is, and it's like that because these people are not saved. So a person of another faith who is faithful to a loving religion and a loving God and follows all the precepts, and that person has not been saved, recognizing as Jesus and his Lord and Savior, that person is going to spend the rest of his life in hell. That's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. So, I had a job as a salesperson for years, and one of the companies I worked for had a woman who worked in the office that I got friendly with. I would see her very often. And she invited Paula and myself over for dinner. So we went to dinner, and it was a nice dinner, and then we didn't realize it, but we got to her agenda. And her agenda was to try to save us. That was her agenda. And she was testifying, I guess you would call it, witnessing her faith to us. And basically the summation of it was, she was saved and we weren't. And even though whatever, we went to church or whatever, if we did not fully accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and followed what she was proselytizing about, that we were going to probably go south. We were probably going to go south. So I said to her, and this is still my acid test, my grandmother was incredible. We called her Grandma Lee, just one word, run it together. And she was just the most amazing person, and we adored her. She was funny. She was a sophisticated. She lived in Lower Manhattan. She wore high heels her whole life to the point where she had to wear high heel slippers because her whole muscles had rearranged. And but she wasn't a snob, and she certainly wasn't religious. I don't even think we ever thought of her as being Jewish, but I guess technically she was. She didn't speak with any kind of, you know, I have friends who are Jewish who are always throwing out these different Yiddish expressions. She didn't do any of that. There was never any icons around. I didn't even think that she was Jewish, but I guess that she was. She never set foot in a synagogue, and she never set foot that I know of or I knew of in a church. But she was incredible. We just adored her. She was funny. When I'd go into the city with friends, I'd say, let's go to my grandmother's because she's so cool. And I said to this person, you're telling me that my grandmother is now in hell? I'm out. Sorry, I am out. So that's the Grandma Lee test. And that's always been that way. That's been that way for me. But you have to decide for yourself where you fit into this whole picture. And what happened with Carlton Preston is a spectacular downfall. Spectacular downfall. Because he started bringing these ideas up to his church. And some people, at least in the dramatization, immediately got up and walked out. But gradually, more and more people left. And he was confronted by his constituents in small groups and asked him to change, or he met with Oral Roberts, or Oral Roberts asked him to change. In the dramatization, I don't know if that really happened, but Oral Roberts comes in during one of his services. And when he started talking like that, Oral Roberts gets up and walks out. That's how serious this became. And gradually what happened, you know, you hear about these TV preachers who have spectacular falls because they've had financial scandals or sex scandals or whatever. That wasn't Reverend Pearson. He was out because he changed his view. He changed his view, and it was not acceptable. It was not acceptable. So what happened? He lost his church, congregations, he lost them in flocks. He lost his church, and the building had to be auctioned off or whatever. A competing church by his parishioners was formed, and he had a few people who stuck with him. But other people heard about this, and they started checking him out. So gradually, and I'm condensing this tremendously, but gradually he did have another church, more like a storefront church, I guess. And he started speaking at places that he never would have found himself in before. Different types of religions, different types of people who maybe would not have been acceptable in the other church, whether they were gay or whatever, or agnostic, or anyhow. So he ended up with his second life, I guess you would call it. But it was a spectacular thing, and it's an amazing story. I would encourage you to look into it. So, where are you guys going to spend eternity? Just thinking about it. Amen.